You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Monday night, and we thank you for tuning in to Final Authority on KLJN1077.com. On this program, the host will share scriptures in their proper contextual meaning. He teaches with passion and a genuine desire to feed God's people the biblical truth, because after all, the Bible is our final authority. If you have a question or comment for the host during the show, please call 914-205-5481 and be sure to press 1 to be live on the air. And now, without further ado, here is your host, the ambassador of fitness and witness, Pastor Everett Robinson.
Well, welcome to the Final Authority. This is Pastor Evan Robinson. Thank you for tuning in to QLJNRadio.com. Well, the Final Authority, we air live every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're glad to tune in. We're going to continue on part two on the topic, what will happen to you when you die? What will happen to you when you die? Well, as we always start out with, we start with a word of prayer, so we're going to pray and then get right into our lesson. Well, Holy Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. We acknowledge you as the almighty, living, true God, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We confess to the Lordship of Christ that your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, is our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed us to you and redeemed us for time and eternity. We thank you, Father, for such provision of salvation and redemption through thy Son, Jesus the Christ. And we also thank you for your word. Your word, Father, may your word abound and increase and multiply in us and through us. May your word resonate down in our heart and in our soul and produce fruit after its kind. I pray that Christ is exalted and those that tune into the show receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father, and they would hear from you through the teachings of the word of God. We thank you, praise you, and give you glory. In the holy majestic name of our Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Okay, all right. Well, again, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Final Authority. Pardon me. If you have a question, or maybe you want to make a comment, or maybe you have a different view that you would like to express, you know, on our show here, please feel free. We welcome all callers. The area code is 914-205-5481. Again, the number to call in is 914-205-5481. After you are dialed in and connected, then press the number 1 on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority. Okay, so dealing with what will happen to you when you die. Well, we're answering the question from the standpoint of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. We believe that God's word is God's final authority. So it's not about my feelings or my opinion that matter. It's not about your feelings or your opinion that matter. It's about what God said. Now, God being all-knowing, God being all-wise, God being everywhere at one and the same time, and God who cannot lie, it's impossible for God to lie. So we accept God's word as final authority. The words of God are faithful and true. And so whatever God has said and established, then it is so. So God knows what will happen to you when you die. And he has revealed that in his word, what will happen to you when you die. But when you die, where you will go and what happened to you is predicated or based upon the decision that you make now in this life before you do go. Or as they say, before you transition to the other side. All right? So now we did deal with it in part one. We won't go into details like we did on part one. We can't do that. We're in part two now, but we cover a number of things about death. The Bible speaks of several kinds of death, but we did define death as separation from. For example, I shared with you that if you take grass and you separate the grass from the earth or from the ground, what happens to the grass? It dies. Why does it die? Because it became separated from the source from which it receives life. You take fish, and you take fish or sea creatures out of the water and keep it out of the water, what happened? Died. Why? It became separated. Okay? And so the Bible speaks of also what we call spiritual death. Okay? And for an example, we share with you out of St. John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, when Jesus is speaking to a multitude of Jews, and he says, verily, verily, and the word verily, verily is an old English term, but it just means I solemnly tell you the truth. Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's different. So I don't know. Pass from death unto life. That's what Jesus said. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, when you do a close examination and look at it, and you really critique St. John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, these words of Christ the Messiah, notice he said, he that heareth my word. All right? Remember when Jesus said in chapter 6, he says in chapter 6, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So his word imparts life. So he said, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. All right? So now, how do you pass from death unto life? Well, he's speaking of spiritual death. That's what we call it, spiritual death. So you come out of this separation from God, that is, into life. You have the life of God in you through Christ. And now you have a union with God. In verse 25, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's speaking to these Jews, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, Jesus was a teacher known as a rabbi in Israel, but now he is the Son of God, and here he's speaking to them as the Son of God, not just as a teacher that he is, not just as a prophet that he is, not just as a rabbi that he is, but he's saying the Son of God, because many of the Jews did know the fact that he was a rabbi teacher, all right? But many of them did not believe and accept that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus says, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Those that would hear what Christ is saying and know that this is the Son of God, these are the words of the Son of God, and believe on him, then they would live. They would have spiritual life. They'll come out of spiritual death. They'll pass from death unto life. Well, what kind of death it could be? Because he's not talking about physical death here in these particular verses. He's going to talk about the physical death until verse 28 and 29 when he deal with physical resurrection from physical death going into physical resurrection. But in verse 24 and 25, he speaks of a spiritual death into a spiritual life. Again, separation, that's death. Death is a separation from. Now, one thing to be shared with you is that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that man here in this text, it seems like man consists of spirit, soul, and body. All right? And then also in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about the physical body using it as an analogy of a home or a house, and that the home of the physical house, the body, it houses your spirit and soul. Your body is the home of your spirit and soul. Your spirit and soul live on the inside of your physical body. The physical body is not all there is to you. So, now, the physical body, that ultimately dies. What is physical death? It's the separation of the spirit and soul from the body. Now, when the spirit and soul departs from the physical body, the spirit and soul goes somewhere. Now, where do it go? Well, we're going to answer from a biblical perspective. I'm not going to answer it according to various different cults or occults or feelings and mood. Well, I feel this and I feel that. Well, that doesn't really matter. What matters is what God has said, because he knows all things, and whatever he says is so. So, again, James said, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the body without the spirit is dead. That means when that spirit separates from the body, that body goes to death. Okay? So, again, when the physical body dies, the spirit transitioned over into what we call the spirit world, if you would. Okay? So, now, this physical dimensional world in which we physically live in, that's not all there is to this world. There's more. There's another realm or another world, if you would. Okay? So what we want to do is we want to, again, look at a few scriptures that we did look at before. Okay? So one was 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says in verse 6, we are confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So now I'm specifically addressing believers, those who have come to a genuine faith in Christ. You heard the message of the gospel. You have come to true biblical repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has washed you from your sins. Jesus Christ has clothed you in his righteousness. You have been declared righteous by the Father. You've been given everlasting life. All right? You now have right standing with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believer, all right, what happens to the believer when he dies? What will happen to you? Well, it depends on who you are in relationship to God. All right? So for you to hear the message of the gospel and you be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of your need to repent and come to faith in Christ, and you do just that, then you are a person who now have peace with God. You are in right standing with God. You are forgiven by God. You are accepted by God in Christ Jesus as God's very own, having accepted salvation and redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, we are always confident, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at home, see, at home in the body is not you. It's a part of you. It's the physical part of you, all right? But the spirit part of you, the spirit and soul, lives on inside of the body, which is the home. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Well, the Lord, after he died on the cross and shed his blood for you, was buried and then rose again from among the dead, the Father God raised Christ back up to heaven. He ascended back up into the heavens. That's where he is. So right now, I am absent from the Lord. I have come to faith in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. I've been washed from all my sins in his own blood. I've been clothed in his perfect righteousness. The Father God has filled me with the Holy Spirit. I am a child of God, not because I'm religious, not because I go to church, not because I'm the pastor, but because I truly in my heart have come to true biblical repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so now I have right standing with God. For me to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. But right now I'm at home in my body. So therefore I'm absent from where the Lord is. When the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, he gave demonstrable evidences of his physical bodily resurrection. That body that was on the cross was buried. That body that was buried is the same body that was raised, but it was raised an incorruptible, immortal, glorified body. And now that physical body is now in heaven. Christ is in heaven in that physical body. So that's where he is. Now, I'm here on earth. So geographically, I'm separated from him, but spiritually, I'm not, because I'm joined unto the Lord. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So right now, I'm at home in the body. But if I was to die as a believer in Christ Jesus, my spirit and soul would be absent from my body and present with the Lord. That's the part of me that has right standing with God. That's the part of me that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That's the part of me that is born again, my spirit. Okay? So now in verse 8, Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body? What body? He referring to his physical body. Well, what would be absent from the body? That would be the spirit and soul. All right? So the spirit and soul is the immaterial part of man. Now, I will say this, that the soul and spirit, those two terms, sometimes are used interchangeably in Scripture. But the spirit, that's the part of you, the image of God. The soul, that is the makeup of your personality, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your reasoning faculties. That's in the realm of your soul. So you are a spirit being, you have a soul, you live in a body. Okay? So, now, specifically what will happen to you, I don't really know what will happen to you when you die, all right? Now, if you come to faith in Christ, of course, for you to be absent in your body, present with the Lord, all right? Now, I don't want to deal with the belief of this place called purgatory. We have no biblical evidence that there is such a place called purgatory. Well, you will get purged from your sins, and then you get to go to heaven. Or somebody pray for you, and they pray for you and go through these rituals whereby you now are taken out of purgatory, and you get to go to heaven. So purgatory is something similar to like a place of fire where you get purged from your sins through suffering, and then you get to heaven. The Bible does not substantiate that erroneous doctrine. And I say erroneous because it's a doctrine that is an error that's not consistent with the teachings of the biblical perspective about what happens when one dies. Okay? So, again, the Bible is the final authority. Not me, not you, not your church, not your bishop, you know, not your religious affiliation. It is the Word of God. And so I'm going by the Word. Now, what will happen to a person when they die if they has heard the gospel and they rejected God's offer of salvation and redemption? God is offering salvation and redemption. According to the scriptures, for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? So we see that. All right? Now, in fact, let me show you another passage real quickly. I'm gonna turn to Philippians chapter 1. Okay? In Philippians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the body of believers in Philippi, and he says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, wait a minute. To live is Christ. That means he is committed and dedicated to glorifying Christ. For him to live is Christ. Why? Because he is, if you would, sold out to Christ. So he's centered on Christ. His decision is made based upon Christ being the center of his life. So for me to live is Christ, and then he says, and to die is gain. Well, how could death be a gain to a believer in Christ? To die is gain. What gain is there to die, to separate from your body? He says, watch this. But if I live in the flesh. Now, when he says, if I live in the flesh, the word flesh here is referring to the physical human anatomy, your physical body. If I live in the flesh. So I yet live in this fleshly body. This body houses my spirit and soul. So I live in the flesh. So you live in the flesh. Everyone live in the flesh. All right? That is yet alive. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Okay? So now, when he said the fruit of my labor, what is he referring to? Well, Paul, for him to live as Christ, he's committed to Christ. He's committed to glorifying Christ. He's committed to proclaiming the message of the cross of Christ. And so if he continues to live in the flesh, this is the fruit of his labor, what? Proclaiming Christ and winning souls to the glory of the Lord. That's the fruit of his labor. You can only labor in this earth realm through your physical body. All right? You have to have a body to labor in the earth realm. He said, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. yet what I shall choose I know not. He says in verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, a hard-pressed position, having a desire to what? Depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So it says to die is gain. How is it a gain? He says, because for the believer that's in Christ Jesus, it is to be with Christ. It is far better to be with Christ. So he knew that I'm living in the flesh. I'm going to glorify Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I continue living in the flesh, in my body, well, this is the fruit of my labor, working. You are the fruit of my labor. I labor the gospel, and you come to repentance. And the fruit is now you are coming to faith in the Lord. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. Verse 23, Philippians chapter 1, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to what? Depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So to be with Christ is far better. Nevertheless, to abide or remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide or continue with you for you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So Paul desires to depart. And in the context, it appears as if he's talking about departing from the body. Because remember in 2 Corinthians, he says something similar relative to the body about while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. He says we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, absent from the body. Well, here in Philippians, he's talking about depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So I believe he's talking about departing from the body and to be with Christ. Nevertheless, to abide or remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So he knew that if he stays in his physical body, he'll continue working, proclaiming the gospel, and receiving fruit to the glory of God. Okay? Now, what I want to do is take you over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. So now, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus told a story about these two men. One man was by the name of Lazarus, and the other man didn't name him. But nevertheless, in Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19, Jesus says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he ate very good every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs, the leftovers, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So here Jesus talks about these two men. One was a poor man by the name of Lazarus. He died. And the rich man, he died. Both died. Whether you're poor or rich, one day you're going to die. Now we share with you out of Hebrews, it says, so it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So once you die, there is a day of accountability for you. Now, back to Luke chapter 16, where Jesus told the story about the two men. So Jesus says that the beggar, he died, but the Bible says he was carried or escorted by angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is an ancient rabbinical term, are a term that ancient rabbis used for a place of rest, peace, and comfort. It's similar to what they call a paradise, all right? So the angels, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, the Greek word is Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So what we're looking at here is death. Both of them experienced death. One man was separated from his body, and he's carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, the place of rest, peace, and comfort. The rich man also died, but the Bible says in Hades he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They both transitioned into the other world. They went to two different areas, all right? They both transitioned into the realm of the spirit, but yet they both were conscious because the beggar was carried, by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Rich man, he died, he was buried, but in hell he lifted up his eyes. How he lifted his eyes? That is the spirit part of him. It's real. It says being in torment. That is sensation and feeling. He saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So he saw Abraham. He recognized Lazarus, so there's recognition. He also was conscious because he was speaking. He saw Abraham and Lazarus, and he said, Father Abraham. And then he said, dip the tip of my finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented. That sensation and feeling. So beyond the physical death, there is more to what you see with your physical eyes. Verse 25, but Abraham said, he's speaking to the rich man, son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Wait a minute. Lazarus? So wait. So rich man's asking for mercy now. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Then they dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime, see right now, at this moment, this is your lifetime right now. The lifetime that you live in right now before you transition into the other world. But Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So he wanted Lazarus to come over to where he was and now comfort him now. All right? So watch what Abraham says. Abraham said, verse 26, and beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they, which would pass from here to you, neither can they, plural, pass to us that will come from there. So Christ points out this conversation between the rich man and Abraham in the realm of the spirit. Now, Hades, the word translated hell in the King James Version, it comes from the Greek word Hades. It means the region of the abode of the departed spirits. The region of the abode of the departed spirits, known as the underworld. Okay? So, what departed spirits? Well, it's referring to the human spirit. You see, when you die, you are going to depart somewhere. You're going to depart. Depart where? Depart from your body. And you're going to go one of two places, and the decision where you will go is predicated upon the decision that you make before you leave this world. And we're going to get to why the rich man was in hell and why he knew he was in hell. It wasn't because he received good things. Good things is okay, all right? But we'll deal with that. You did mention that, but further, we're going to find out very clearly very why. And so, so in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That means an impassable interval. So that they which will pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from here. So Lazarus can't come over there, and nobody else over here can go over there where you are to help y'all. And not only that, no one from over there where y'all are can't come over here. It's set. Your fate is sealed now. There's no change at all. So verse 27, then he said, this is what the rich man said to Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would have sent him to my father's house. Oh, Father Abraham, so he's talking to Father Abraham about sending Lazarus to his father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He had a father's house. His five brothers was there. He wanted Lazarus to go back. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead, back to his father's house to testify about what's going on the other side once you transition. He realized he was in hell. They'll come to the same place I'm going. He realized they were in the same state and condition that he was before he left his body, and he didn't want them to come there. So Hades is so bad, the people that's there don't want people to come there. I pray thee therefore, Father, that you will send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto his place of torment. All right, we hear the music. Stay tuned in. After the break, we'll continue in the vein of what we are in this particular chapter of Luke chapter 16, what will happen when you die. See you after the break.
Yesterday I was thinking, thinking about you, reminiscing about the good times, all the bad times you brought me through. In the midst of them all, you were always there, honey, to remind me that I can make it on my own. When I felt alone, you were there beside me. In the midst of my storm, you calmed the raging sea. How can I repay you for the protection that you give? Made a decision, for you I'm gonna live. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make it up to you. I'm sometimes down, oh, but you never let me feel as if I was nothing, for you're always around to lift my bowed down head, to fill my heart with gladness. With you in my life, it makes a living worthwhile. So for the rest of my life,
for the rest of my life,
yeah, I'm going to make it up.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right. Well, praise God. Thank you for staying tuned in to The Final Authority. That song that you heard on that break was by Marvin Sapp. Called For the Rest of My Life. Yes, for the rest of my life will you glorify Christ. Okay, all right, well, let's get back into the Word of God. You're back with the Final Authority. All right, Luke chapter 16, what will happen to you when you die? So we're dealing with Luke 16 when Jesus tells a story about a rich man and a poor man. They both lived, but they both died, but they went to two different locations. And so we're finishing up over here, verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That means an impassable interval. So that they which would come from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from there. All right. So here, the rich man who now is in Hades, in the Hades compartment, in the tormenting department of Hades, Lazarus and Abraham is in a whole different department called Abraham's bosom, place of rest, peace, and comfort. And so the rich man had wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to come on that side where he was, but Abraham said, listen, there's a great goal fixed, an impassable interval. There's no way to do that. So once you are wherever you are, once you transition, the state you die in, that's the state you remain for eternity. You can't pass and go from there to one place to another. You can't. So the rich man said, verse 27, I pray thee, I plead with you, therefore, Father, that you would send unto my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Okay, now, notice who mentioned the word repent. The rich man. Abraham didn't say anything about repentance. So, Abraham said, hey, you want to go unto them? No, they have Moses and the prophet. Let your father hear Moses and the prophets. So the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He realized he was there because he never did repent. He knew about repentance. Repentance is making a U-turn. Going one direction and a 180-degree turn, going the other direction. He was going down the wrong road that ended up in Hades, changing direction. He had the law and the prophets, but he didn't hear the word of the prophets. He dies, and he was buried, but in hell. Hell, yes, that's where spirit and soul went, to Hades. It's the region of the abode of the departed spirits. Abraham said, so the man said, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said unto him, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And ultimately, we see Christ rose from the dead. How many people still reject Christ? Now, so I'm not your judge. I don't determine where you will go. I don't determine that. God is the one that determines that. But you make the decision where you will go. It's up to you to make that decision now. Like Paul's telling those in Corinth, he says, now is the day of salvation. See, right now, see, while you are yet living in your body, while you are yet at home in your body, you're breathing, you're living, this is the time before you depart from your body to come to true biblical repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you die having rejected Jesus Christ, you die in your sins, die having rejected God's offer of salvation and redemption for you, once you transition, there is no way you can transition into heaven. Absolutely not. Hades will be your portion. That's the word. Now, again, I don't determine it. But I do know that if God makes an offer of salvation and I was to reject God's offer of salvation and redemption through faith in what he has provided for, then and I reject that, then how else can I be saved and receive salvation and redemption? Now, let me show you something. Hades is not the ultimate place. It is a temporary place until the final judgment, and ultimately there's a place called the lake of fire. Now, people don't like to hear this. However, God's word is faithful and true, and it doesn't change the future feelings. So in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, as we look at chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I saw the dead small and great stand before God. Yes. All right, now, he's not talking about necessarily physically dead people because they're standing. Dead people don't stand up. But they were dead in another sense. They were dead in relationship to God. They had no relationship to God. They were separated from God. Remember when Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." All right? That's what he said. Well, apparently, they did not accept the gospel message of the Messiah. They remained spiritually dead in their sins, and they died in their sins. So now, they're resurrected to stand before God. Remember, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now here's the judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before who? God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works, their deeds. They're going to be judged. You're going to give an account for what you do in this life. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So here, I'm looking at verse 13. It says the sea gave up the dead. So in order for the sea to give up the dead, there got to be some dead in the sea. Because the sea can't give up the dead if there's no dead in it. There had to be some dead. Well, there are people who have been cremated and their ashes were thrown on the sea. That's nothing for God to bring that together back to a resurrection, to stand before God to give an account. All right? There's people who have died in shipwrecks whose bodies were never, ever recovered. And so the sea became their grave, as it were. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So here it is. Death and hell. Hell comes from the word Hades, all right? And that can refer to Hades and the physical grave, all right? So in hell delivered the dead. So if hell delivered the dead, that means they that was in Hades had to come out of Hades, all right, enter back into their body, be resurrected, and stand before God to give an account. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. There are people who died. Their bodies never was buried. Death took them out. They went to ashes, but it's all coming back together again to stand before God. Because Jesus speaks of a resurrection of the just and the unjust. All right? Speaks of the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation. So back to verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, so everyone's going to give an account. What's going to happen to you when you die? Well, ultimately, you're going to go somewhere. Either you're going to be present with the Lord if you're a believer. You reject God's offer of salvation and redemption through faith in Christ. Then you'll be absent of the body. You'll be present in a place called Hades. That's what it appears to be in Scripture. Ultimately, when you die, you go on someplace, and ultimately, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account. And ultimately, we see right here, it says in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 20, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Wow, the lake of fire. Yes, this is the second death. Well, hell was bad enough. Hades is bad enough. And then now, the lake of fire, these terms are used to denote a place of ultimate judgment here. And this is the ultimate final judgment of those that reject God's offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the word of God. Now what gets me in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That right there is very a sobering verse for me. Whosoever, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter your heritage, your lineage. It doesn't matter your status in life. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how wealthy, rich you may be, millionaire, billionaire, zillionaire, gazillionaire, whatever. If your name is not written in the book of life, the book of life is the book that records those who are alive unto God through faith in Christ. They have everlasting life. They came to faith and trust in Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, as their Lord and Savior. They accepted God's offer of salvation. Whosoever, that includes you, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Now, verse 14 calls it the second death. So you have different kinds of death, spiritual death, you have physical death, you have what is called the second death, and we believe the second death is called eternal death because it would be considered eternal separation from God, okay? Eternally damned forever, no hope of salvation as far as we can see in Scripture. So what will happen to you when you die? When you separate from your body, you will transition somewhere. You determine that right now where you will go. I submit unto you Jesus Christ, the divine, unique Son of the living God. He has died for all of your sins. See, on that rugged cross, the Father placed all of your sins upon his Son. All of them. So every sin of yours that was against God, God the Father placed it on Christ and judged Christ as though he committed the sins against God. He did not. He was holy and without blame. He was sinless. And yet the Father God judged him for your sin. Thus, Jesus Christ satisfied the judgment of God, and the Father God was satisfied with the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and the shed blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Christ was buried. Third day, he rose again from among the dead. And now that you hear the message of the gospel about the good news about what Christ done for you through taking on your sins and suffering and dying for your sins and shedding his blood for you and buried for you and rose again from among the dead, all for you and your salvation to redeem your soul, and you then repent and come to faith in Christ, he washes you from all your sins. You now have you're clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Righteousness is right standing with God. I have right standing with God because I'm now joined to Christ. I don't have right standing with God because I'm religious, I'm the pastor. So it doesn't matter about whether you go to somebody's church or not. All right. It's a matter of you hearing the true gospel and coming to a genuine faith in Christ. That's the biblical perspective. Now, you might differ. I just agree with God. I just agree with God. When I say I just agree, I agree. I want to make it very clear that I agree. So whatever God says, because he knows all things, because he's everywhere at one and the same time, he's all wise, all right? He's all powerful, all right? So whatever he says is so. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken shall he not make it good? God always honors his word and is faithful and true for eternity. His word is forever settled in heaven, and he changes not. So his word is not going to change to suit you or me. I just agree with him. I just simply hold fast to what God has said in his word. So will you come into agreement with God for your salvation and redemption? It's only in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your salvation. So Paul makes that very clear, that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. Will you totally depend on Christ Jesus for your salvation today? Again, he is the Son of God. He died for your sins, shed his blood for you, was buried for you, and rose again. He's alive forevermore. And right now, currently, he is in heaven, highly exalted, glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father, as your advocate. That's the Bible. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And as Paul the Apostle had wrote to the body of believers in Rome, he said that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, so believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is embracing all that he's done for you on the cross of Calvary. That you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart. So we're talking about a conviction of the reality of the person and the work of Christ in your heart. That this is not something that's a mental assenting. It's this something is deeper than just the mind. This goes down into the heart and the being of your inner core. So the Spirit convicts you of the person of Christ in your heart. And God knows whether or not you have a true biblical faith. He knows whether or not you repented and come to true genuine faith. And the only way for you to experience biblical salvation is to come to true biblical repentance and faith in Christ. So for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not based on any works or my deeds. I just totally rest my faith exclusively upon Christ and what he has done for me on the rugged cross of Calvary. And so I have passed from death unto life. I shall not come into condemnation. I have everlasting life. Okay? So, again, you determine where you're going to go before you leave this world. You have determined that now. All right? So your faith is sealed. Once you go, once you transition, you seal. That's it. So your salvation is right now. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the word. We give you glory and we give you all praise, Father, for the word of God. I thank you, Father God, that I have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh God, this word, Father, this word will take root in the heart of those who have tuned in to the show and those who tuned into the archives who will hear this later. I'm asking God that Christ is exalted. I pray, oh God, for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to convict them of the reality of Jesus Christ and their desperate need to repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ. I give you glory and I give you praise. In the holy, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, I pray, so be it, and amen. For further references, if you had a question or a comment or maybe you want to express something and you didn't get a chance to call in, you might want to be able to email me. You can email me. I will respond to your emails. You want to email me at ambassadorer@yahoo.com. ambassadorer@yahoo.com. That's ambassadorer@yahoo.com. And I will respond to that. Okay? So pass the word on to other fans and loved ones that the Final Authority airs live every Monday. A specific standard time from 6 to 7. And remember, that number is area code 914-205-5481. 914-205-5481. And remember, don't forget to press the number 1, and then the producer will connect you to my line. Okay? And we'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Final Authority. God bless you. And grace, peace, and blessing be upon your heart, your household, and may Christ be glorified. God bless.
Well, we certainly hope you've enjoyed this episode of Final Authority with your host, Pastor Everett Robinson. We invite you to visit the Will of God Christian Center located at 419 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. If you'd like to send a message to Pastor Everett Robinson, you may email him at ambassadorer@yahoo.com. Thank you again for listening to The Final Authority right here on KLJN 107.7.
With MetroPCS, you can share all the fun and watch it spread with no limits. All for a price you'll love.
I'm in a sweet spot. I'm feeling good.
Get MetroPCS and enjoy fast, unlimited data on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S., just like AT&T and Verizon, for less. Switch now and get four lines of unlimited data for $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless figured out.
A shift has been made, and fuel-efficient cars are suddenly fun to drive cars. Small cars are safe cars with six standard airbags. And now there are three great cars starting for under $16,500 each. A shift has been made. So when you think fuel economy, safety, and value, think Nissan.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.